This session may be a little bit of a misnomer, pulling it all together. I don't know that that's possible, but we're going to do a couple of different, three different things this morning. First part is to help you discern a little bit on what are the most important things that you're taking away from here. The second is to give us some feedback on how we did and how we could do better in the future as we continue to do these sessions and retreats. A little bit of a verbal evaluation, and then finally a sending service to send us all off onto the bus and the boat and back to the down lake world. Just a word about, Marty can say more about what's on the table. My job is to tell you what you can't take home with you. And we apologize, you can't take home those blue songbooks. So we just don't have the copyright permission for them, and then we need to take them on to the next event. So please leave the blue songbooks. Is there anything else they have to leave from those? The LBWs. Yeah. Gather with one voice. Coffee cup, silverware, sheets and towels. Okay. So we're going to do all this by 10 o'clock, we hope. So invite Marty up here and begin.
This is the day the Lord has made. Mary is the only person I know who is both a morning person and an evening person. How she does that. I have such ambivalent feelings about this. We had a trip right before this, and so I have these ambivalent feelings of really feeling wanting to go home, but also really sad about this ending. I have had such an inspirational time for me, and I want to thank, on behalf of all of us, Holden Village for making this happen, the wonderful pastoral team and the support staff they have. It's been great, everybody. I can't imagine any other place that could do this, especially the way Holden did it. And it's, that Eucharist last night for me was like the culmination of the whole thing. Just wonderful. Thanks, Holden. Thank you to the team. Yes, we should give them. You don't want to start naming people because there's like, I don't know, how many staff are there? It's too many. Thank you to the team. I don't, you know, I thank them when I can, but I do about 35 trips a year and nothing feeds me like this. I never could imagine not going to every session over and over again because each time I hear something new. And those who were here, the two of you were here last time, could probably affirm that. What we're going to do is... I told someone when I go into my first conference that I went to ever, they paid my way, my liturgy committee, with the assumption that I would come back and make a report about how I was going to correct all the problems in our worship when I got back. And so I had about 12 pages of how I was going to correct worship. And I realized I just was so excited, enthusiastic, I wasn't watching their response as I was telling them how we were going to fix things. And then I looked up and realized their eyes had glazed over and they were sliding. The reality is, of course, that worship, you come down from Mount Tabor, and then you have this sort of disillusionment when life doesn't change right away. And it's important to support each other, especially if you have multiple people here. Hold each other up and keep in front of you the memory, that community, that there's all these people who care passionately about the renewal of worship in our community life. But secondly, set reasonable expectations about what you can do and prioritize. And that's what we're going to do now. If you're part of a parish group, we would like you to, when we break up, to go to your parish group and do that. If you're an individual, maybe find one or two people who look like they're lost or alone and talk to them. And two things we want you to reflect on. First, think of one aspect, prioritize one aspect that you want to do when you go home in terms of your worship, to look at it and say, what can we do, one thing that is the most critical piece? It may not be the thing you want to do the most, but what is the most critical piece you believe, based on your reflections and your experiences this week, that you want to look at in terms of your own worship in your parish? And secondly, if you could speak to your whole denomination, regardless of whether you're Lutheran or Methodist, Episcopalian, Roman Catholic, Unitarian, Universalist, if you were to talk to your denomination, what would you say to them? Here's the one thing that I think is at the heart of what we need to look at first for worship renewal. It may be hard to pare this down, but I think it's really important at this point to have that kind of single-minded vision about where to start. And then keep in mind all the other things, and it'll all unfold on its own. So how about if we take about 5 minutes? Is that enough? 10? Well, the second part is the evaluation, and that's valuable for us. Well, 10 minutes? Okay. It's about, let's take 10 minutes and do that reflection, and then be prepared to have someone speak from your group. So now we will find out how we're going to go home and transform the church. Who would like to offer reflections from their group? I'll repeat them back. Yes. They want to be more deliberate in choosing music and in teaching it. I think so much of ministry is about not necessarily what we do, but how we do it. And that's one of the wonderful things about working with this team and working at Holden. There's a deliberateness about everything, the way it's done. Yes, very good. Yes.
Really value Dan's big T little T.
Dan's what?
His big T. Oh, mm-hmm. As a way of helping people feel secure in what's permanent or what's essential. Mm-hmm.
And I think that that kind of thinking is part of the process that's going on, that in the process. I don't know if anyone...
There seems to have been a rigidity about maintaining exactly the same language and other kinds of...
I don't know if... Does anybody in the team want to address that, or should we just sort of say that I'm sure that they will be thinking about language very carefully because they've had to hear a lot about it. The big T, little T, he said, was very helpful. And it's actually been interesting, even within our own group, talking about big T, little T. Like any parish, we're not in agreement either. And I think Dan's point yesterday is well taken, that don't let this become one more polarizing thing in your parish. Keep your mind open to the fact that there are lesser and greater things that aren't either big T or little T, that sort of that there's a continuum. But the big T, little T is helpful for anchors. Other things? Yes.
Building community within the church.
Building community within the church, and I think that's...
Is that the bigger church or at your
church? Our church, and in the bigger church.
Okay, and do you have, can you be more specific in terms of an idea you have about a strategy you might have to do that?
It's going to take a lot of little steps, so it's hard to say. It's getting people more close together in services, a little more on the baptism and that sort of imagery.
So you're going to go home with 15 things to change.
Little tiny baby steps.
Yeah, yeah. But important ones. Other things? Yes.
I think for me, it's taking back, looking at our worship space as to who are we worshiping, what are we worshiping, what does it say about the space.
Did you find that workshop that Susan and Mary did useful?
Yeah.
Sort of a real new way, a fresh way of looking at worship space. She said she... and thinking about the theological implications of worship space. And it's funny, you'll never look at your worship space the same way again.
Well, I think, you know, drawing to diagram, which is like
Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry. Excuse me. Another one? Yes. So what she said was she appreciated seeing us fight. No, she said she appreciated seeing that we could disagree and listen to each other and not have to all think the same way. And that when she asked Susan about a question at a moment, which was awkward at the end of a session, Susan's response was, "I will think about that." And I think the worship renewal is all about listening. And I believe in our creative arguments, our loving, compassionate, creative arguing, the spirit can move very powerfully. Thank you. Yeah, please. Oh, you're right. You're right. Well, I think what she was saying was that what she's learned is that she can go back and they can argue. Yeah, Yeah. The layer of what? The spoken and sung word together. You found that helpful. Good. Good. Yes? Look at creating unity in between your services. Good. Good ideas. Yeah. They're going to look at ways to do better formation of their assembly through all kinds of options so that they can bring together veterans and newcomers. Yeah. Do you have a strategy about what you think, how you think you can bring more lay leadership? Yeah. So at least one thing you're taking back is a conviction that you need to work on better lay leadership. Yes.
We're actually planning a workshop to catechize our lectures, our assistant minister, ushers,
good.
All of those people who participate in worship, so that we kind of begin the education there, and we'll hopefully we'll.
They're planning a workshop to catechize their lay leaders. No, had you planned that before you came here, or is that some? Oh, good. That's exciting to think that the ripples go out. Other things? Yes?
We're involved in a process of our parish. It's not from the church building, and it's called a worship audit, which is a whole process of prayer and education among the committee members, and then educating the parish. We know that we need to do something, and everybody has a different idea of what, of course. And so it's really a lot of what you've done here, because the timing is not correct.
Yeah. So they're going to do an audit of their parish to look at what the issues are in terms of educating their parish and renewing their worship. That's always dangerous, because if you ask for their opinions, you're probably going to get it. other things that people would like to share? Okay. And so how do you feel, what will you take home?
Identify people in our church, or to be able to train people, or maybe be able to hire somebody that could lead that.
So your hope is that you can start to find ways to do that kind of leadership in your parish. That's, and the nice thing is every parish can do finger snapping. You may not have a pipe organ. Yeah. So what you're saying you'd like to see happen is your to build sort of a bridge between your choir and your congregation in mutual involvement.
Also, to get away from choir
and choir's solely performance, yeah, I think. Mm-hmm. Good. Good. And do you think you have strategies about how you can do that? Yeah. Well, the conviction is the first important step. Other things? Yes.
I'm going to take October and November to find and help train a psalm leader.
Ah.
And then in Advent, introduce a psalm that is sung. All we do is read the response.
I like this real specific. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to use October and November to train a song leader and then have that person introduce a psalm in Advent. It's just a really good, clear goal. And that'll open all kinds of other things for you. Other things that people want to raise? Way in the back.
The song leader is a really important thing for our group. There's something that we've talked about that really, I think, really been doing a lot of, and you've helped me to really see that that's going to be an important part of our developing a worship that is out and that we own.
No. She's, oh, sorry, did you finish? Can you hold that, or do you want to say it now? Okay, you say it now. Yeah, okay. Say it now. Yeah, now you had said you've been convicted to the importance of the song leader, and you want to go back and help make that happen. Do you have an idea of how you can do that?
I have 4 or 5.
Oh, they're right there. Yeah, that's the way to do this. Bring everybody. Yeah. What she said was she's thought a lot about the discernment of gifts this week and how you don't sort of, the Spirit gives you the gifts and your job is to find them and make them work. When we were talking about the hymn of the day, we used, which I didn't mean this in a negative sense, but what I told Susan what I thought was a big fat hymn, which means a substantial hymn of the day. But I thought, let's try and do it with instruments other than the traditional ones so that you can hear that all the different gifts we have can still work with the riches of our heritage. That's a very good thing to go home and to say, what are the gifts here in our unique situation? Yeah. He said they've been looking at the text, but now they're going to start to really say, how can we pray our way into these texts and really let them... I mean, for me, as a musician, that's so gratifying to hear that, because I think that starting point, if you do nothing more than really live inside the text, the worship will change in your parish. You know it will. Maybe one more comment, and then we're going to move to our next phase. Other, yeah. Very good. What he said was that up until now, his thinking has been you pray and then you stop and sing a song, which is, I think, the way a lot of musicians, including me, thought about it for a long time. It's the difference between songs in the liturgy and singing the liturgy. And I think it's moving towards singing our prayer versus stopping the prayer to sing is a critical difference. You have a burning heart there, I can see. Okay. It's both and, isn't it? Our liturgy isn't just, I mean, it is, comes out of all our cultural differences. We have these roots that every culture decorates with their own experience, but we have to, in knowing to discern the deep roots. And that leads me to my announcements that I was going to make. I see. I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought everybody was going to feel free to do both. Does anybody want to say what you would say to your denomination, or if you could magically create something for your denomination, what would it be?
I would say when they develop a new hymn book, which I guess is the process of, that they be flexible and do some testing among smaller congregations that don't have the talents and the abilities that a lot of the larger ones do. The background that these people have, realize that not everybody has those, and they
He said, and now you use the word hymn book, but maybe we could say when your denomination has its next generation of worship resources, because I think first thing you might say is that it may be broader. There may be, you know, the world is changing, but he would hope that the denomination would make the book flexible because the parishes are so different from each other, it has to answer a lot of needs. Am I wording that correctly? Yeah. So if you were, you want to say something, Susan?
In the bookstore, those of you who are ELCA Lutherans, I think maybe you should each have these, your pastors, but Principles for Worship. This is one of the first documents put out in this five-year process of renewing worship. And there is a very wonderful section on language. And on, I would ask you to read that. I would tell you that there has been a whole committee that's been working long and hard on the issue of language, and that you read those principles and see if you aren't just gosh darn proud of what your church is doing. Part of the thing we have to remember is there is a plethora of things being generated, and I think the musicians here would agree with me. You have to be extraordinarily discerning about what you choose, and because we're also crossing denominations all over, picking stuff off. I'll watch for the text, watch for the depth of it, watch for everything. So. Everything is not appropriate for worship. Yeah.
something as big as a denomination, it's not like a parish where there's a unified, well, even in a parish there's not a unified vision. So there we go. Other things you'd like to say to your church, whichever. She would like to see every synod have an operating worship committee that would be helpful for formation within the synod. Is that accurate? Yeah. Now we're into evaluation. Yeah, thank you.
I'm on the Synod Worship Committee, such as it is, and we've talked a little bit in committee before, but I'm going to go back and talk with the committee members about finding out what are the gifts that we do have in our Synod and really get pulled together, because we have an incredibly talented group of musicians, but no one has ever really figured out who we have.
Can you hear what she's saying? Should I do need to repeat this, or could you all hear what she said?
Okay. Yeah.
If I could make one reflection as someone who works more with Roman Catholics than with Lutherans, and this is a great, great gift for you. The what I have seen in the Lutheran, of course, I get invited by the good Lutheran synods, the ones who are doing a lot of good things, but what I have seen in Lutheran synods versus the Roman Catholic diocese, you are light years ahead in terms of caring. I mean, you, Chris is nodding. Yeah, and he knows this, that it's so rare to find a diocese. There are some, but a Catholic diocese where you can find, when you talk about worship, you get a resonant, yeah, let's think about this. What can we do? So you've got, make the most of that gift. Yeah. She said she would like to see the Synod giving financial support for formation at the parish level. Is that
for small congregations?
Okay. Now, I don't want to cut off the evaluation part. Do you think, we're getting evaluation as we go? I don't know. Okay. Can I mention a couple things as we morph? And then as we morph, you could still make comments. The materials at the front arrived yesterday from my publisher. They were supposed to arrive Monday, so basically we're not going to really use them, but you can take them home. Everything on the table except the blue books. And the thing about this is, Holden would probably really like to see that get out of here. This is a real, you know, they would like to see it gone, believe me. On the workshop and concert booklets is my email address and my phone number, and feel free to contact me if you want to talk to me about anything. What? I don't care. You know, if I don't like what you're saying, I'll just hang up. And finally, we are committed to livingliturgy.com to have that. And on that, I think Tom and I were talking today, and what we think the principal reason to have the Living Liturgy site is about two or three things. One is we're going to try and have a list of resources. It may not be updated more than every 6 months or even once a year, but we'll try and put all the things we've talked about, how to get those books, how to get good resources. We'll also say where we're going to be doing Living Liturgy, and also how to contact us if you want to have Living Liturgy. Now, on the table back there, there is a yellow pad that you can sign up if you want to be emailed. We talked to Holden, and we agree that we don't want Holden giving us your email address. You know, that's not. We want you, if you want to be contacted when the website is up and running, just put your name and email address there, and we'll send out one email to you saying it's up and running, you can go to it. It's also on my, I'll leave word on my website, and maybe Bread for the Journey as well. And my website is martyhaugen.net, and Bread for the Journey is bfjmusic.com. Right? Thank you.
Okay, this, we need some feedback, and none of us really like written evaluations, and I don't know if you do or not. You should feel free to write something and give it to us if you'd like, but verbal is helpful for us. So a couple of things. As we continue to think about doing Living Liturgy workshops, we'd like to know from you the sessions or the components of this workshop that were most helpful to you, and then also the areas in which you felt were lacking, aspects missing, or things that we could have done better to help you. So as we think about the future, we can try to improve upon the overall model. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our composer could have brought some pieces with him. We came up here without some of the material that we would have liked to have had critiqued while we were here.
Yeah, okay, that's helpful. Some of the breakouts were being designed on the boat. So we're going to... Yeah, that's helpful. Okay, good. Are you taking notes, Susan? Okay. I hope you could go ahead. If you couldn't hear all that, it focused some more things focused around youth and worship, and we've been talking among ourselves. I'm the youngest member of this group, I think. It'd be nice to have somebody younger than me. Somebody younger than me on this team that represents that segment of society. Yeah.
We focused on the meal. I think we were pressed for time.
On the what? On the...
We were pressed for time, and I focused on the meal.
Okay.
Exactly how to shape the time, but it would have been nice.
Have more on the meal. Okay. Okay, thank you. Back here? Oh, again, expanding the meal portion and tying it to the meal at home.
Okay. I just like to maybe suggest that the breakout sessions have longer.
Longer breakout sessions.
I think, you know, we just got into it. There wasn't time to share, there wasn't time to tell my things that we have a lot of time.
Okay. Yep. Okay. All right. Behind.
The breakouts, not over long, but it's been nice if they've been taped.
Taped. Were none of them taped, or were, I think some of them were.
The
is that
ensemble
true?
And the
yeah, the ensemble wasn't.
Were very practical, very helpful for musicians back in parishes, and it'd be nice to be able to make that music.
Okay. All right. Here.
There was a lot done with the music, but not as much done with the prose section of liturgy. Mm-hmm. And that would be nice to have some discussion on that, or just writing, how to write.
Okay. Did you hear that? How to write the prose section of liturgy? Yeah. Do other people like that idea of signing up ahead of time for stuff? Because we could do that, but it mix, okay. Yeah? Yeah, and that was one of the breakouts that was planned on the boat. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, like John Ferguson has done a festival setting of LBW1 in that same kind of situation, but for a regular everyday setting, so I can use my flutes and oboes and cello and that kind of thing on just a regular LBW liturgy, which is so essential to what we do, and you know, it makes some of the older generations happy, but to do it in a little different.
So you're saying for a variety of instruments other than the organ?
Yes. Right.
Except that it was confusing on the acapella verse. Did you know? See, that's part of the worship process,
yeah.
Too, is saying, what's wrong with this one?
Yeah. But my gift is not as a composer, but I can lead people if I have that sheet music. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah?
Something that I would like to see is when there are handouts from different breakout sessions, make them available to the rest of the group that were not able to go to the breakout sessions.
Okay.
Because there was at least one time that there were two breakout sessions and I wanted to go to both of them. Mm-hmm. Get the material from the other one, but it was very frustrating. At least if it was all made available on one table, if you couldn't go to one, you could at least get this material and maybe find someone and take notes from them later.
I think in the future, ideally, we'd like to put together just a packet that you get when you come, and then perhaps some of these resources will be on the website, so if you didn't get them, yeah. Sandra and... So to unpack what we did the previous night, okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you mean the instrument ensemble one, or specifically?
Of all the sessions.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe discuss this in one of the breakout sessions. I'd like to see more discussion about ethics and worship in terms of respecting the integrity of composers, for instance, so you don't have either pastors or musicians saying, well, I like Marty's hymn here, but that fifth verse, I just have problems with. So we'll just sing 1, 2, 3, 4. How much liberty does one have in using other person's material in terms of the integrity, the structure, the poetry.
Almost like not speaking to Martin Allen because he's so gracious about it, but I'm amazed the number of people who tell us they've taken hold of evening prayer, changed evening to morning, and turned it into matins. That seems to me like a disrespecting not only of the composer but of the office of vespers. So I guess I would make sure. Ask yourself what you're doing and why you're doing it.
and at least have a long, long conversation with Marty's email address. Yeah. Yeah. Marty's ancestors, yeah. What? So similar to what Susan did on the Eucharistic rite, but for other liturgies?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Over here? Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Here.
Similarly, I was going to comment that just recognize that you five are in our ELCA fund, three-day pitch, and it's been humbling to experience you big fish as servants. And so thank you for your servanthood this week and for your service to the church.
Thank you. Thank you. Just a few more, and then we need to quit. Did you want to? You okay? Yeah, go ahead. That was great. Thank you.
on this beat, it's the first one, and it goes back to something else said about the composer giving information ahead of time. I think one thing I'm taking back in this is an awareness that for both the composer session and instrumental, if we do that, I would make sure to make it clear in the whatever way to bring music and instruments, and that I was told in the instrumental section that all the instruments I saw, I thought they'd all be in the session. But I don't think I made that clear.
Yeah.
I think that's something I need to do.
Yeah, we have to think through that instrument piece too, because it's part of it is the conflicting with the free time, and when you work with other instrumentalists, it's just more time spending with those folks, and it's a lot of work, so we're going to have to figure out how to do that, but that's a really fine point. Couple more. Scott? Okay. I have one question to ask, just in terms of length. Our model, primary model, is a 2.5-day event, Thursday night, all day Friday, and all day Saturday. We're thinking that that's what most people can handle in terms of schedule and cost. And you came to a 4.5, well, you took 5 at least days of your lives. Comments on the length and the cost of this event? Should we try to aim for longer events? It might kill us, but way back, yeah. And part of it is wondering whether a four or five-day event would work down lake at some local church rather than in this setting. So,
yeah, the setting has something to do with it.
Well, what we do on the smaller events is no breakouts. It's
well, limited breakouts, yeah. That's helpful. That's helpful. Yeah. Good, thank you. Bookstore. Go up to the bookstore. They should have information with session titles and a number of the session.
Okay.
and then you order it, and at this point they'll have to mail them to you. Not every session was taped, but most of them were. Yeah.
I don't believe they had a listing. You had to make up your own list.
Oh. They
had an order form.
Yeah. I'll go talk to them and see if we can get a list up there. All right, we're just about down to the wire here.
One real quick thing. I agree that the cost, I think, was marvelous for what we got. I think the length of the living liturgy needs to vary depending on the location where you're offering it. 5 days is absolutely wonderful and essential, and free time is essential when you're in a place like Holden. If you're sitting in a conference hotel in a downtown city, I think 2.5-3 days is great because you can do it.
Yeah.
So it's really going to vary on depending on where you are.
And you don't want an event to just kind of dribble off. I mean, here you're kind of captive. So, all right, yeah, we're done. We have to stop. Sorry. Come and talk to us individually about other things you have to share with us.
Just a moment to think about expanding your evaluation of this weekend to the entire village here. The work that you've been doing this week is just about as close to the very center of our mission here at Holden as you can get. So this is an incredibly valuable and important thing that we're so happy to be able to host. So if you have things not just about the program of the retreat, including that, but then also the working of the village, we'd love to have your evaluations. You should have that stuff in your room, and if not, you can get more from the registration office.
We're going to sing as we move into our final sending rite. I changed the song during the evaluation because someone made a comment about moaning music, and this is a lament. I thought, one more opportunity. In the workshop booklets, please open to page 10. Please open to page 10 in the workshop booklets. Yeah, thank you. Let's take, once you've found it, let's just mentally move ourselves from this sort of process to prayer.
a note about our closing blessing ceremony. But first, an apology. One of you loaned me this book to read something, and meeting so many people, I forgot who's all there. Okay, I'll just set it. Okay. On the order of service that Susan passed out, she inadvertently left off the creed. So if you could take a pencil and add that. So do you know where it goes? Okay. Yeah, a note about our service now. At the near the beginning, there will be a three-part dialogue. And your part, after I say, "This is a promise of our merciful God," your response just, "Thanks be to God." Thanks be to God. Then after we sing "Neither Death Nor Life," we are going to bless you on your way, or bring the blessing of God to you. So during the last stanza, the six of us who have been leaders will stand in front of each section and then just go out the right and then go past, and then there'll be a laying on of hands and a word of blessing to you and a signing of the cross. And then at the end, we'll have a blessing for all. So we'll have a moment of silence and then begin. Stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. This is the promise of our merciful God.
Thanks be to God.
And do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the waters, they shall not overwhelm you. This is the promise of our merciful God.
Thanks be to God.
You shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. This is the promise of our merciful God.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray.
Thank you.
O God of majesty, whom saints and angels delight to worship in heaven, be with your servants who make art and music for your people, that with joy we on earth may glimpse your beauty and bring us to the fulfillment of that hope of perfection which will be ours as we stand before your unveiled glory. Merciful God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you gave the holy apostles many gifts and commanded them to feed your flock. Inspire all pastors to preach your word diligently and your people to receive it willingly, that all may sing your praise now and in the age to come. Prayer and receive the prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Be seated.
A reading from Romans, the 8th chapter. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Workshop booklets, page 15.